In Vancouver, I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Once again, Hal Wake joins us. He is the Artistic Director of the Vancouver International Writers and Readers Festival and a former broadcaster. He was on last year to preview the festival and joins us again to do the same. This year, the festival runs on Granville Island, October 19th to the 24th. Not to sound trite, but there's something for everyone. Some of the writers appearing include Jane Urquhart, Jan Martel, Charlotte Gray, George Fetherling, William Gibson, Sandra Birdsill, Robert J. Wiersma, Denise Chung, and more. Writersfest.bc.ca is the website, and you can get the program there and throughout the city at libraries and other institutions, as well as bookstores, large and small. They do good work in promoting writers and reading in this city and beyond. I read with interest that next year, the Vancouver Public Library, with the Public Library, they'll be putting on twice monthly programs. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Hal Wake. Good morning, Mr. Wake.
Good morning. I don't think I need to say anything more. You did such a fabulous job. My gosh.
And coming from a broadcaster of your note, I mean, that's a great compliment. What's this thing with the library that you're doing next year?
Well, it's actually something that we've been thinking about for a number of years. I know from my travels to Toronto and my conversations with publishers, the bigger publishers there, that there are good writers who don't make it to Vancouver for one reason or another, and one of them is that we don't have a high-profile reading series where they know that they can place writers if they invest in sending them all the way out here.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling was that that doesn't do a service for our audience, and by that I mean the reading public and community in Vancouver who should be seeing the best, most interesting, most diverse writers possible. And it doesn't serve the publishers or the writers well if there isn't something for them, something significant for them to do in Vancouver. The stumbling block had always been venue. We don't own any venues ourselves, and renting, as we do for the festival, we can manage that, but it's not something that works on a long-term, regular basis. And so it was when we sat down with the library and realized that that's what they bring to the table is a venue and their own history and reputation and experience in presenting books and writers. And then we bring our event management and our contacts around the world with publishers and writers. So suddenly it all became feasible, and we will launch in January of 2011, run, as you say, twice a month. We'll take a break in the summer and take a little break over our festival period, and then wrap up in December, when we're very much looking forward to
it. It just sounds like it'll be great.
Well, again, there'll be some writers that, some great writers that don't regularly appear here, and that's the most exciting thing, I think, from our point of view. Although we'll have writers from Vancouver and from BC. It'll be a great mix, and you touched on something at the beginning of your remarks about the diversity, the range of events at this year's festival, and I think it's one of the high points of the festival, but it's something that we'll be able to continue in the series, just a broad and range, a very diverse group of writers over that period.
Will you charge for the events?
Free.
Oh, they'll be free?
Yeah.
Because even I thought, I mean, $10 to hear someone is not a, you know, it's not a bad price.
No, but it's the library is a venue that has to be accessible to all and to remove as many barriers, including financial. It presents some challenges in making it work financially, but certainly the arrangement that we've made with the library is for free.
Well, that just sounds great, yeah, as it is. So when the program came in the mail, wow, for me, it was, I guess, late August, early September. I must have sat here at my desk just reading, you know, for about an hour or so, reading up on the events. It must be fun programming this festival year in, year out.
It is the most fun part part of my job. Certainly selecting writers is, well, it's fun and difficult at the same time because often I have to make some choices about who we can get into the festival and who can't make it in a given year, and that's not easy. But then to sit down and put together events and look more deeply at the books that are going to be coming out and looking for, it's a little bit like a chemical reaction. You're wanting to add a little bit of this and a little bit of that and then hope in the end that you have some kind of bubbling, fermenting experience with the different writers. And so, yeah, you're right. It's great fun to put those events together.
Did you get writers who tell you, no, I'm not going to sit with that person?
Well, at the stage that I'm putting things together, I generally don't have direct contact with the writers. So they don't get an opportunity to say that to me. And then if later and it's never happened that I have put together an event and had one writer or another say, I can't do this. I will say that one year there were two writers that I was going to invite who shared a country of origin and had some kind of experience with each other in the past, and the publicist for one of them said, I don't think it would be wise to put these people together.
Yeah.
So that has happened.
The audience that comes to town or goes on to Granville Island for the festival, are they? How does it break down in terms of the people that are from the area and people that come from out of town?
We've never done a comprehensive analysis of that. Clearly, our audience is primarily Lower Mainland. But I ran into somebody the other day who said, oh, yes, my friend is coming out from Montreal. And I said, well, they have a festival in Montreal, and they could just kind of go there. And she said, yeah, but they have some family here, and they really like the Granville Island, the setting, and the kind of festival that you put on. And I know people come from northern BC, the prairies, the states. So we do draw people from a wide distance, but the majority of our ticket buyers would be Lower Mainland, Vancouver Island.
It must be fun to think about how vibrant the community is locally.
Well, we've got an event this year called Homegrown, because there were more books, there are more books from BC being published this year than we could even handle. And so we extended the number of writers that we have from our neighborhood. And in Homegrown, for example, Caroline Adderson and William Gibson and Anasha Rani, so those are names that people might be familiar with, but Ann Erickson is coming over from the island. Miranda Pearson, who's a fine poet from Vancouver. So we've put an entire event together this year that features the extraordinary writing that's going on in this province.
The closing of Duthie's books has meant the end of the Duthie lecture that usually closes the festival, right?
True.
Yeah, but you have an event there, the Penguin Party, and that closes this year. I've got tickets for that already. Who will be appearing there?
It's the 75th anniversary of Penguin Books, and so most of us can't even remember a time when there wasn't such a thing.
Yeah.
And what happened was a guy named Alan Lane in England, who realized at the time, 75 years ago, that most books were these heavy, hard-bound books and not easy to carry around, said, you know, first of all, the world should have access to the great literature that's been years, and it should be something that's affordable and transportable. And boom, the pocketbook and the Penguin book was born, and they focused on publishing classic literature, and they've been doing that now for 75 years, which is a tremendous accomplishment. So in that event, we have four writers, and we'll give them a chance to read from their own work in the first half of the event. So Ali Smith and Andrea Levy, Miguel Sayuko, and Michael Winter. And then in the second half of the event, we'll get them to talk about the Penguin book or books that have been important to them as writers and as readers. And Michael Winter sent me a fabulous email where he's going to talk about Wyndham, and I can't remember the writer's first name. I should have thought of that. Day of the Triffids, which is a science fiction thing, and it's totally unusual for that to be a touchstone book for him. So he's really excited about, and he's going to read bits of Day of the Triffids. That'll be the second half of the conversation.
I'm a big fan of Miguel Sayuko. His book, I love that book. I guess because I'm Filipino, it touched a chord, I guess.
It's made a tremendous splash around the world and in the Philippines. The fact that the book was chosen for the Man Asian Book Prize, I think, made the entire country proud of him. And he's taken, he takes his Filipino heritage very, very seriously. He's been living in Montreal, I think, for a number of years.
Yeah.
But he's certainly connected to the Philippines.
Yeah, and Vancouver as well. I noticed that Kirk LaPointe will be talking to Charlotte Gray about her book. That book just looks like it's going to be huge.
Well, I was just looking into it a bit today, as a matter of fact, and Charlotte has tread where most people would fear to go. She's done a book on the Klondike, and of course, Pierre Burton is the king of the Klondike writers, and to think that you can bring something new to it takes a writer of great courage and confidence and experience. And Charlotte is up to the task, and she's found some characters and based the book on characters in the Gold Rush. And my favorite is a woman named Brenda Mulrooney, who decided to hit the Chilkoot Trail. She was from the States, literally crawled at times on hand and foot to get up into the gold fields. And the story is that she took her last 25 cents, her last coin, and threw it into the river just to show that she had made it, and she didn't care about what kind of resources she had, except that she had hauled this mysterious trailer of stuff, or had it brought up. And it turned out it was women's lingerie, and she sold every single piece that she had at something like 600% profit. And within a couple of years, owned two hotels and was called the Queen of the Klondike. So it's a fabulous story. And Charlotte is one of the preeminent popular historians in the country. So she knows how to do the research and then how to tell a good story. So, yeah, that's a great, great event.
I noticed that Charlie Demers is hosting an event. I guess he's hosting with a bunch of comedians. I'm a big fan of him. Do you put a lot of thought into who hosts the events as well as who appears at them?
Absolutely. And we've developed over the last few years quite a cadre of moderators and hosts. And we actually also have a kind of briefing document that we send out to help them organize how they're going to present events. We all know that sometimes an event can be made by a good moderator, and a good event can be destroyed by a bad moderator. So we we're pretty careful to try to make sure that that the people we choose read the books, do the preparation, and are suited for the kind of discussion that's going to take place. And certainly Charlie, being a stand-up comedian, will handle the event on humor well.
You talked about this last year, this event, the Literary Cabaret,
mm-hmm.
With Sal Ferreras, and I've heard a great many things about it. I've never been to it myself, but I did see Sal at the Sam Sullivan Public Salon, and he just seems like a fascinating guy. What does he do at the cabaret?
The cabaret is usually the first event to sell out at the festival. It sells out very early, so there are no tickets available this year. It's already gone. And Sal pulls together some of the best jazz musicians in the city in a group that, for the purposes of the festival, he calls Poetic License. And Sal's the band leader. He gets in touch with the six writers who are going to appear in the event. I choose the writers. He then lets them know that there will be a band playing with them and asks them to let him know what they want to read. And they send the material off to him. He looks through it and then chooses music that he thinks will go well with their reading. They come to town. They have a 15-minute rehearsal on Friday afternoon, which is really no rehearsal at all. And mostly what they're doing at that point is figuring out transitions, when the reading's going to take a turn and the music will change with it, to get those transitions right, and then they go live that night, and it's impossible for me to describe the magic that is often created up on that stage. I remember Donna Morrissey a few years ago, the writer from Newfoundland, was reading a scene about a fisherman who's in a family feud, and he goes out in his fishing boat into this great raging storm and determined to show the rest of his family what he's capable of. And Donna professed to be a nervous reader, but the band started this lovely maritime air behind her as she started the reading fairly quietly, and by the end, the boat's out there being tossed on the wild ocean, and the music is raging behind her, and she was just there, so present, and the reading and the music were incredible, and people were just, you know, their mouths were open. So that's the kind of stuff that that can happen. And readers, a lot of them, even experienced writers from other parts of the world, have never done anything like that. And they leave kind of, well, most of them say, can we tour with the band, please?
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that's sold out already. There are still tickets available for most of the events, right?
For a lot of events, and a lot of tickets available for some really interesting writers. We have a guy named Justin Cronin coming. His book, The Passage, which is a post-apocalyptic vampire thriller, has been on the New York Times bestseller list for months. And he sounds like a really interesting guy. He was a literary writer and had published a couple of books, been shortlisted for important awards, and was at home one day trying to figure out his next book, and his daughter, who was a teenager at the time, said, "Well, Dad, why don't you write something interesting?" And he said, "Thanks. What do you mean interesting?" And they started to go for bike rides and talk, and she would just throw out these ideas of stuff that she thought would be interesting to go into a book. And that became the basis of this book, The Passage, which is the beginning of a trilogy, and which has just captured the imagination of a lot of readers. And he'll be with Robert Wiersema, who you mentioned at the beginning. And Robert's book is about a young boy who is given a book by his father, and he reads it, and then at some point gets absorbed, literally absorbed into the story, and the rest of the book is the father trying to get his child back from the narrative, the tale that he's been drawn into. So I'm really looking forward to that event. You mentioned the diversity of programming. We have Sarah Levitt, a local graphic novelist, who's the first person to have been put on the short list, the first graphic novelist to end up on the Writers' Trust nonfiction short list. Mm-hmm. And then she's with Linda Barry, who's a world-renowned comic artist from the States. So we've got, you know, some graphic arts, some thrills and chills, the nonfiction with Charlotte Gray, just a wide range. People, there should be something for everybody, I hope, at this festival.
Last year when you were on, I said that I was going to go. I didn't make it last year, but this year, since I already have my tickets, I will definitely be there. Hal, I've enjoyed this conversation, and we'll see you down there.
Well, you're very kind to give us this opportunity, and I look forward to seeing you on the island.
You're very welcome. The website for more is writersfest.bc.ca, October 19th to the 24th, events throughout Granville Island. Hal Wake, the Artistic Director of the 23rd Vancouver International Writers and Readers Festival in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.